So what I'll do is, in when I find the need, they say, "Oh, so you do? So you have a need for this service?" Then I'll say, "What would it be worth to you to solve that problem?" And you might even want to write that question down, because that's such a fabulous question. What would it be worth to you to solve that problem? Because if you find the need within an organization, you say, "What would it be worth to you to solve that problem?" Oh, your people aren't out there selling enough. What would it be worth if you were to solve that problem? Because then it's going to make your fee look minuscule.
Go back to the time of the book again.
To which one?
Influence,
the Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. So if you find out what it would be worth to them to solve that problem, it's going to make your fee look very small. You've got a built-in contrast frame, and the sale's already done as far as I'm concerned. Now, by the way, one thing that I always do is I've always guaranteed my results, which means that I will work with the client until they get their result, or we'll either get the result in the time frame that I state, or I'll continue to work with them at no charge until they've gotten the result, if I didn't get it by then, or if they didn't get it by then. That means also that I've got to be selective in the clients that I choose, because I'm going to select clients that get results. Milton Erickson didn't work with everybody he saw. He was very selective in who he would work with, and sometimes he would task people to do certain things before he would work with them. So I'll do that as well, but then I'll guarantee the results, and I think that's a good way to hold yourself accountable for the results that your clients are getting as well, if you're doing coaching. Now, I always go into, like, if I'm going into a business situation, like, let's say I'm looking for investment money to start this project or start that project, I have enough congruency in my heart. Like, I know that I'm going to follow this project through, I'm going to see it through, and I'm going to see that this investor gets their money. And I'm so congruent about that that it becomes very easy for me to sell them on an idea. I won't sell it unless I'm certain of it, unless I know that this is some project that I'm putting myself behind, in which case I find out what would it be worth to them to... if this were investment were to pay off what they wanted. And then it becomes very easy to make the sale because we got a really nice contrast. Yeah. So we're going to establish the value of the solution and the need, and then you're just going to link the need or value to your product or service. So if you're using traditional NLP, you can use conditional clauses. You could say what would happen if, compared to, because. You could use the agreement frame. You could fire off anchors, use strategies and language patterns. You could also just tell them right out how your service is going to how your service is going to do that. Okay, so the client says, so let's say I was selling training here to a corporation once again. Okay, we found out that the barriers to success were cold call reluctance and their people aren't fired up enough. They don't have the intrinsic drive to get out there doing it. So I say, that's great. And so let me tell you a little bit about how we're going to help you to get, let me tell you a little bit about how we can do this. What I suggest is we've got a couple of different ways that we can help you to do this. We could do a series of trainings over 3 weeks where we come in on weekends and we coach your people in the skills and we have an ongoing coaching program. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it would be if we came in and we worked with your top executives and then did a single event with everybody where we taught them all the sales skills. Either way, I think would get you the outcome that you want. And then what I might do is throw in a little bit, that's where I'm linking the need or value. Then I could also tie that in a little bit more. Either way, I think we'd get the outcome that you want. We'd get your people motivated with the drive to go out there and produce that extra income. Also, break them through that cold call reluctance so you see them dialing like crazy on the phones. And we get them up to the point where they're producing that $10,000 a day for you. Is that what you want? Notice that question. Is that what you want? Is that what you'd like to see happen? Okay, that's what we call a trial close. So you say, so we get your people out there and they're really producing the kind of results that you want. Is that what you want to see happen? They say yes. Now, they're not going to say no to that question. You know, and then we'll get your people and we'll do the training over a series of 6 weeks, so that your people develop that intrinsic drive, and we get the coaching and the follow up and the feedback, so that they get out there and they start making a lot of calls. And they start bringing in that $10,000 a day. Is that what you'd like to see happen? Yes. Okay, good. Geez. Then you could even use a little sales hypnosis if you want to use a little sales hypnosis, and you could say, picture this. It's about 6 months from now, and you're on that boat in the French Riviera thinking back about how glad you were that you hired our company to do this, because you realize that that's what's afforded you the ability to be out there enjoying yourself with your wife. So now, by the way, everything that I've said there, I've gotten from the information that came from the questioning phase. So I look at the questioning phase as being the heart of the sale. It's like the heart of the artichoke. You know, you're peeling back the leaves and the good stuff's the heart. The questioning phase is the heart of the sale. So when if you ask the right questions, you'll get right to what's gonna make that sale happen. Now, by the way, haven't I just served this client in a way? Because if they come in and they do the training and they get the results that we've said that we could produce, and I've guaranteed the results, they pay nothing unless we're able to produce those results, then it's a win-win. Everybody's won. I've helped them to make a decision that was good for them. They get the training, they get the motivation they wanted for their salespeople, and in addition to that, they're making the kind of money one. They're on the Riviera, and we've made our deal. Yeah.
You mentioned the one that you taught me the best that was killer. It was the yes patterns, the yes sets.
Yes sets you can use anywhere inside there where you
That was huge when you taught
me. All the language patterns, the agreement frames and all that is good. Now, by the way, on a close, like people talk about using double binds for a close. Do you want it in red or black, white or blue? Do you want to do this week or next week? I'm more of a direct salesperson, I say. So you, do you want to? No, so how do you want to start? So you ready to go? You know, in seminars, I say, so do you want us to save you a seat in the class? I'll ask them direct. I don't like to dance around and stuff like that. I'll ask people directly. Because if they don't want to do it, I'd rather get a no. Because no's are infinitely better than maybes. No's are infinitely better than maybes. Because you're far better off with a no. Because then you can spend your people. You can spend. The key in sales is to spend 80% of your time on the high probability buyers. Spend 80% of your time on the people that are likely to buy your product or service. Because the maybe people will hold you in maybe land forever. And then you're wasting your time instead of spending your time on the high probability buyer. So you want to get as many no's as possible. Because a no means, great, okay. So let's focus our energies on where it's going to produce the most results. Yeah. So that's that. I mean, when I'll walk into a company also, sometimes I'll start with a metaphor. I'll say something like, you know, as we move into the new millennium, a good business consultant friend of mine told me something very important. He said there's four things of vital and utmost importance as we move into the new millennium in terms of making a business successful. The first thing is first to have a business plan, some sort of a plan, some sort of a direction for where we're headed. The second thing is once we've got that plan, the second thing that we need to do is we need to have an adequate system of feedback for knowing whether or not we're producing results along the lines of that plan. Like the profit and loss statement, some sort of an adequate system of feedback to know if we're getting the results that we want. The third thing my business consultant friend told me was of utmost importance for producing results in business as we move into the new millennium is that if we find that we're not getting the results that we want, we need to be willing to change now. Flexibility of behavior, right? Now, I remember there was a time when I wasn't producing the results that I wanted in my business. And when I wasn't producing, I called a business consultant. A business consultant, a good friend of mine, came in to look at my business and he said, this is going wrong with your business. These are the things that aren't working because there's so many people out there telling you, do this, do that. Spend more money, spend less money. Do it this way, do it that way. And at the time, I was really, really confused. You know what I mean? Have you ever felt like that? I mean, I was confused. I had no idea what to do. So I called my business consultant friend. Yeah? Because sometimes in the process of signing a client up for our services, the client will be in that state of confusion. You know, it's kind of like they don't know what to do. And they're in the void, right. And I'll say, hey, we're here, we're ready to go. And they'll say, oh, well, I don't have enough. Sometimes they'll say, I don't have enough money to buy your services. I say, you don't have enough money? I say, well, I'm really confused about that because that's what we help people to do. We help people to make that kind of money. I mean, how would you like to never be able to say that again? So what we do is we help you to make enough money. Or sometimes people will say, I don't have enough time to sign up for your services or to put our people through your organization. You don't have enough time. I don't understand that. I'm confused about that. Because that's what we help people to do is get the time, to make the time, to find the time. Time and money. Now, by the way, the objections of time and money. Now, what I'm doing is I'm chaining objections, by the way, inside the presentation. So time and money. Let's talk about time and money. Time and money are symptoms of an unlimited belief, or they're symptoms of a belief in an unlimited universe. The person who doesn't have enough time, that will tend to be cross-contextual throughout their life, where they say they don't have enough time to do the things they want to do, and money, the same thing. If they say they don't have enough money to you, that will tend to run cross-contextually throughout their life. Those are symptoms of a belief in a limited universe. This is a totally unlimited universe. There's so much money out there. There's a river of money flowing above our heads. And all you got to do is tap your personal pipeline into it and allow it to flow to you. So there's all the money in the world out there. And time's the same thing. There's all the time because we all have all the same amount of time in the